Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. It is reveal recap time as I attempt to get through a month's worth to get us all caught up over the next couple of days. Oh, I love these, and I'm always like to go back and see what was what. We're back on August 21st. That's where we are. And this former MTV star had to run and hide to avoid a process server at a convention this past weekend. And I'm talking about Farrah Abraham. And after that attempt, the process servers went to court. And of course, they got permission to serve Farrah's dad, which was interesting. And then Farrah today did her response. And she says that she doesn't owe them any money. $101,000. Now, you know, rental kind of things they were only going after the past due. I don't think they were going after every last penny, because in rent, it's a strange kind of thing. You know, the landlord has to make an effort to find somebody to rent the space, and then the difference between the lease and what she owed. But I think it's more of a back payment kind of thing. $101,000. I think that when those episodes aired, I think we could figure out that she wasn't really going to be able to do those. I think she got in her head, hey, you know, people love me and they're going to come see this all the time and, you know, buy furniture from me and buy Froyo. So that was kind of a ridiculous idea. And I think that everybody could kind of see that from the outset. Number two on the 21st. I'm waiting for an intrepid reporter to not point out the new love of the foreign-born model, who was also a reality star, and is the parental unit of meh celebrities, to ask her why she doesn't have to spend mid-six figures a year now in hocus-pocus cures like she did when she had access to big money. Was it all a big scam directed towards her ex, or was she scammed herself? And I'm talking about Yolanda Hadid and, you know, all these things that David Foster, he was spending six figures on all these treatments. And, you know, if you go back and you listen to my Hadid kind of thing, the Bella and Gigi kind of deep dive, you know, it seems like they all have to have some kind of disease. And it's just odd that the entire family had some kind of disease, and then they all miraculously disappeared as, you know, as soon as David Foster was gone and they weren't on reality shows. So, oh, Yolanda. Number three on the 21st. As I told you weeks ago, there was no way this cable network was going to change the name of their Icon Award to something generic or remove the A++ lister from the name. Now the cable network has confirmed there will be no change. And I'm talking about the MTV Video Music Awards, and, you know, the Vanguard Award is named after Michael Jackson, and there was this big push to take his name from the award, and that's just not going to happen. They chose to name it after him when they could have got rid of it a long time ago. They chose not to, after the whole child molestation trial and all that kind of stuff. I don't understand what people thought that they would be willing to change it. It's just, they don't care. You know, they're a huge conglomerate, and, you know, the ratings are down anyway, and if you change the name of award, is all of a sudden people are going to go, oh, great, now I'm going to watch it? So I think that they realized that, you know, musicians and singers, they all wanted it named after Michael Jackson, and if you think about all the underage sexual assaults that have occurred over the history of time in music, I mean, are they punishing anybody for that? No. So why were they going to change the name of the award? It just not going to happen. Not going to happen. Let's see. Let's go to number four on the 21st. This back in the day network show, which in its own way led to a long running reality franchise, is in talks to reboot, but won't include the actors who walked away from the show when it was a hit. I'm talking about the OC, and Real Housewives of OC, because that's kind of where that came with. You know, you had the OC and everybody was kind of interested. And then they said, well, you know what? Let's do Real Housewives of OC. And that's kind of, you know, where it sprung from. So the inspiration for the OC and then Real Housewives of OC. And, you know, I think that they will do a reboot. I think it's just kind of the thing that everybody kind of wants to do now. But Misha, not coming back for that. I mean, I'm sure she would love to, but no. Not going to happen. Let's see. Number five. The foreign-born former A-list boy bander was never offered the role everyone is saying he turned down. It was a way to save face, and no one's ever going to say he wasn't offered it because they might need him down the road for something else. And I'm talking about Harry Styles as Prince Eric in Little Mermaid. You know, and this is how it kind of works. You float something out there, and it's not limited to celebrities. It's real life. If you think about, well, Elon Musk is a bad example because he never follows through on anything. But if he says, oh, something like, we are going to have self-flying cars or something like that, you know, you throw it out there to see if it sticks and if it resonates, and then maybe you try and move forward with that. Politicians, they do the same thing. They float out some kind of policy idea, and if everybody jumps on it, then they'll do it. But if nobody does, then they just kind of ignore that they ever brought it up. So the same thing is true in Hollywood. You know, you have Jennifer Lopez really fighting to get that Super Bowl spot. And then you have, say, Harry Styles, who says, you know, I'd kind of like to be, you know, Prince Eric, or maybe his people. You float out the idea of, you know, Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper being together. It's just something that you float out there to bring attention to yourself. But in a case of a movie role, remember, you're fighting against a whole bunch of other people. And if you can show that, hey, all the tabloids picked up the fact that, you know, Harry Styles is going to be Prince Eric and everybody's pretty darn happy about that, then, you know, all of a sudden somebody who was maybe fourth in contention moves up the ladder because they're saying, wow, a lot of people are talking about him. Maybe we should cast him because it's all about making money. Same with Robert Pattinson. His people got ahead of the game. And with the Batman, you know, they said they threw out his name when it was still kind of up in the air. But because of that, they kind of forced the studio into saying, yeah, Robert Pattinson, we're not going to listen to anybody else now. You know, we thought about it, but, man, what the hell? And you just kind of give them a fait accompli. Let's see. Let's do the 22nd, number one. This barely their celebrity offspring of a pretty close to permanent A-lister is willing to fake it to get on the new season of the rebooted reality show. And I don't think she knows what she's getting into. And I'm talking about Josie Canseco and being with Brody Jenner and getting on the Hills. And, you know, it's just, I mean, the whole show, all the relationships were fake in the first time, you know. So it's not really going to be much different the second time around. It's just, it's, I don't even know what you, I want to say, you know, if you go back to the real world, the original kind of modern day reality show, and, you know, you watch that first season and it's really pure. And then the second season, some of those people had seen the first season, and then, you know, everybody kind of establishes your roles. And then you have the reality shows that continue, and the ones that continue from season to season with the same cast, you know, everybody sees that from the outside and goes, oh, you know, I can become famous just by being a reality star. I'm not making it as a model, really. I'm not going to make it as an actress. So what can I do? You know, I'll be reality. And people will do anything to get on television. You know, think about how many times people have been on Marriage Boot Camp and stuff like that, and they're not even really together. They're just told, hey, can you go find a partner and bring them on, and, you know, we'll pretend that you guys are together. And it's just, it's all so utterly fake, and it's all done so people can be famous. They just want to be famous. And it's just, at some point, you know, you reach this lowest common denominator. One of the Love and Hip Hop franchises this year, the two of the participants signed a waiver so they could fight, like actual physical fighting. Is every show now going to turn into some kind of Jerry Springer thing where people are throwing punches and stuff like that? It's just, how far can you go down to get this lowest common denominator? And I think we're getting to that point. Very much so. Let's see. Number two on the 22nd. I'm just trying to get through as many of these as possible for you. I think everyone was actually shocked. This foreign-born former A-list teen actress turned A-minus B-plus list adult actress got another big movie role. She's not that great of an actress and gives horrible interviews during press for movies. She's fast becoming to movies what Alicia Silverstone is to television shows. And I'm talking about Emma Watson. Not my buddy Emma Stone. Emma Watson. And she's not that great of an actress. She was, as Hermione, great. She just hasn't made that transition to adult actress. And, when, you know, the whole Beauty and the Beast thing was just an S show when it came to press. She just doesn't like to do it. But in something like that, where you're the biggest star in it, it's kind of dependent on you to do it and to at least pretend that you like it. You are an actress, so, you know, just go with it. Go for it. And the more you go for it and the more that you're willing to do anything on a talk show, any kind of gag that anybody can think of, studios love that. I've told you this before. You know, they're not necessarily hiring you for your acting. They're hiring you for your promotional skills. There are very few actors and actresses that somebody goes, oh, whatever they're in, I'm going to go see. So you have to make it so people want to watch it. And if they haven't seen a trailer, if they haven't gone to the movies, if they haven't seen a commercial, because everybody skips commercials, then you have to get people interested. And if you're willing to go on some show and do skits and kind of, you know, play to the crowd and just be self-deprecating, people love that stuff. And it makes them like you, which gives you a higher Q score, and it makes them want to go see the movie. But even if they don't go see the movie, the studios take notice of what you're doing on the talk shows and for press, and they're way more likely to hire you because they know that, hey, maybe this movie wasn't good enough, but it wasn't this person's fault. They went out and they busted their butt to try and get people to go see it. What they hate is when you're not willing to do interviews, or if the advanced reviews suck, then all of a sudden you say, I'm not going to do so much press. You just look at the biggest stars in the world, the biggest actors and actresses, especially actors, and think about what they're willing to do. Tom Cruise, willing to do pretty much whatever it takes to promote a movie. The Rock, pretty much willing to do whatever it takes to open a movie. Adam Sandler. You know, I mean, this list of people that are willing to do this stuff, they're the ones who keep getting hired. And it makes them more approachable, makes them more likable, and then people want to go see their movies, no matter how bad they are. But something like Baywatch, which was a truly awful movie. But, you know, nobody really penalized The Rock for being in it because he tried and he worked his butt off. So the studio said, eh, don't worry about it. They know that not all movies can be winners. But they want somebody who's, even on the winners, going to try and just, you know, get as many dollars for that movie as possible. Let's see. Number three on the 22nd. This former Disney actor slash singer is not using her name right now, but she is the one going after her molester when he sexually abused her during her very early teen years. His abuse lasted for 2 years. I'm not sure why she's not using her name in legal proceedings, considering she's mentioned it publicly before. And I'm talking about Jordan Pruitt, and I think 2 weeks after this, then she finally said, oh, it's me. But she had already said it. Because, and I don't understand why on the legal documents they said no, that, you know, they didn't identify her by name. It would have been different if she hadn't come out prior to that and said. But, speaking of names, you know, I heard today that, well, I can't tell it actually, because then somebody who's listening who told it to me. So I don't know if they told it to me in confidence or not. They didn't say that they did, but I will email them and tell you tomorrow. But anyway, Jordan Pruitt, I think it's great that she's stepping forward. And I think it's great when, if you are willing, and remember, it's your situation. It's your story. It's your truth. You get to decide if you're the victim. If you want to, you say your name. But I think when you do, it makes it much more powerful. Because it puts a face to, you know, to it all. And then people can, and then you can give interviews and you can talk about it. And, you know, then you can bring more attention to it. And that does something. Again, a victim, you know, totally. You don't have to identify yourself. I get that. But then there's no interviews and we just have these court documents. And the only time the case is talked about is when there's a new filing in the case. But when you do it and you say your name, then you can give interviews and you can talk about it. And, you know, more and more people will listen. It's, you know, something like Bella Thorne, where she just said, I'm going to talk about it. I'll talk about it to whoever wants to listen. I will just keep talking about it. And it got people, to use the word again, talking, discussing it. How can we make change? And part of the problem is that SAG-AFTRA, you know, is supposed to enforce the rules that are in place, and they don't. And I'm not sure why. You know, but when you look at the president of SAG-AFTRA and the person that she's with, you know, I just, you know, that's maybe part of the reason. Let's see, number four on the 22nd. Shoot, it's not coming up. I'm having to do this left-handed. Oh. This foreign-born couple have been keeping the relationship mostly quiet just to avoid questions that are now going to emerge about a timeline. He is an A-/B+ list actor who's only that high if you're a fan of a certain streaming hit. She's a model. They started dating when he was nearly 20 and she was around 16. Again, you have the situation. So it's Dacre Montgomery from Stranger Things and Liv Pollack, and he might have even been 21. You know, but you might not know him if you, you know, if you don't watch Stranger Things. But it's just, you know, they've been keeping it quiet because people are going to, they thought people would ask. But look, I've talked about it. I've written about it. 21, 16. Nobody says anything. Maybe because not a big enough star, but it's a big show. You know, you had a big part. But nobody talks about it. You know, speaking, you know, the person I spoke to today, we talked about that kind of stuff. Where all these stories that have been out for a long time, and just nobody talks about it. Nobody brings it up. And you need to talk about every single time. You can't just wait for the big ones where it's a big name like Kevin Spacey, who now is going to just gonna be completely exonerated of everything and is going to keep partying. And like I said something like 2 months ago that he would be filming something within the next calendar year of that. I think he starts filming something in the spring. You watch. Hollywood's going to say, oh, well, you know what? A lot of these things didn't happen. He's going to be working in spring. And you know what? There's not going to be a huge backlash. There should be, but there won't be. And you've seen, you know, actresses say, oh, you know, he should be forgiven and all this kind of stuff. No, he shouldn't be, but he will be. And, you know, maybe it's hard. Maybe people, it's hard for people to keep up outrage about a lot of different things. Maybe they're just, And then what happens is, when you see something like that, if he starts filming, then everybody gets dejected and they say, well, what was all the stuff? Nobody, and it's just, it's very frustrating. Because you're making your voices heard, but they're not listening. You know, it's just, and it's tough to, the only way you can do it is to not watch, not buy tickets, you know, heard it kind of in that way. But there's not enough people who care. There's not enough people who are willing to say, yeah, you know, He shouldn't be on there. You know, the people are just so, oh, a show. Oh, it's got Kevin Spacey. Wasn't he the guy who, you know, did something before? This is a good show. Because people don't pay attention. People, just for whatever reason, the only thing that they see celebrity-wise is People Magazine. And that's how they live their life. And that's why publicists and studios love things like People Magazine or Just Jared. Because they're just willing to ignore it all and just take that studio line and all that. And there's a reason. And I've talked about it a million times. People is owned by Warner. So there's the Warner Brothers Music. There's Warner Brothers the studio. You know, it's their job to promote movies and music. So, you know, it's frustrating when I read things like that. Let's see, number five on the 22nd of August, which seems so long ago. And it's really not even that long ago. It was about the day, I think the 22nd is when PSLs came out. Which pat on the back I told everybody about months in advance. But I can't take any credit for, like, secrets. I just went back and looked at how many days before Labor Day and when Starbucks did it. Let's see. This former B-list actress and dropping, who was most recently seen in a paid cable hit, is forgetting to mention her drug issues when talking about a recent troubling situation involving her child. And I'm talking about Josephine Gillen in Game of Thrones. And that's another reason. You know, you have actresses or actors, and then they give their story to people who won't ask any follow-ups. So then you're only getting one side of the story. And it's up to that reporter to ask questions, and not only ask questions, but then to write about them. It's everything is just has to be so polished and so, I don't know, pro actor or actress and pro entertainment and pro Hollywood. And this is a situation with Josephine that it does, you know, and about child custody and things. And, you know, you need to talk about both sides. You need to mention it. You have to give people all of the information. You can't just do one-sided things. It's kind of like documentaries. You know, whether it's Making a Murderer, who, you know, they went into the first season, here is what we're going to prove. Or here's our, you know, when you go into it with an end game, you're always going to do that. And I don't care if it's on the left or the right, they both do it. The point is we're going to make this point. And so we're only going to provide you information that gives you that point. And you're going to watch it and go, oh, my God. And like I said, the left does it and the right does it, both. It has, you know, nothing to do with anything. And it doesn't even have to be political. Like I said, with Making a Murderer, they went in, here's how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to, this is what we want in the end. And so then they only talk about things that lead up to proving their point while ignoring a lot of others. Didn't realize I was going to. I don't want to go on a rant, because then I don't get as many done. Let's see. The 23rd. Number one. When you talk about, like, the documentaries, people just need to go in with an open mind. And after you watch the documentary, you know, and just say, oh, let me see the other side of that. And if you did that with Making Murder, then you go, okay, well, here's some stuff that's not quite right. They kind of left all this stuff out. So it's up to you to kind of go do that. But when you're talking about something like an interview with an actor or actress or something like that, it should be the journalist who brings you both sides and not just one side. This foreign-born former A-list athlete who serial cheats on a significant other, rapes random women, and gets into random fights has once again managed to not get thrown in jail for something any other person would. Apparently, in his country, no one wants to see him in jail, no matter what he does to others. And I'm talking about Conor McGregor. This guy gets away with literally everything. I just... I think that a lot of, well, these UFC guys, they always get away with a lot. And then, you know, he's this big star, and, you know, just how many things has Conor McGregor had thrown at him and been accused of, and seemingly just, oh, I'm just going to keep going on, keep doing my thing, keep being famous, and nobody is going to stop liking me. Oh, let's see. Number 2 on the 23rd. The latest music video for this foreign-born illiterate singer took forever because of all the drug breaks. And I'm talking about Camila Cabello. I hope that's the only... I'm tired of talking about them. I'm done with Camila and Sean. I'm just done with that. You know, at some point, I get tired of writing it, so I know you get tired of reading it. And, you know, there's only so many things that you can say. You know, how many times can you write about them? You get a tip, and you want to write about them, but, you know, I mean, I wrote about them, wrote about Camila the last couple of days, or at least today, because of her seeing some of the guy not named Shawn Mendes for the last couple of nights. Let's see. Number 3 on the 23rd, which was very popular. So let us find out why. I love wondering why. Oh, it was not Meghan Markle or Priyanka Chopra. I love it. This A-list country singer, sometime reality star, and his A-list girlfriend got into a recent public spat about what she chose to wear to an event. And he said something about acting her age, and she said something about him not complaining when she wore things before sex. I'm talking about Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton. You know, when you start dating Gwen Stefani, you kind of know what you're getting into and what she's going to wear. Now, is it going to be as attention-getting as what Kylie Jenner wore to Justin and Haley's wedding? No. And, you know, is it... I thought you weren't supposed to kind of try and upstage the bride. But obviously, that's what Kylie was trying to do. She was trying to get all the attention for herself. You know, sometimes can you just say, you know, it's not about me today. I don't need to have my breasts falling out. I don't need my slit to be so far up that you can see, you know, the color of my underwear. You know, it's somebody else's day. Let them have their day. Don't have the whole world talking about what you wore. And so, you know, and Gwen brought up a good point. You know, you don't complain when it's in private, and, you know, you kind of knew what you were getting into when you started dating me, which is why I think that there was an argument. Number 4 on the 23rd. Oh, wow. This is, I can't wait to read this just because so much has happened in between when I wrote this on August 15th and now. So I saw the answer. The former A-minus list teen singer wants no part of a back-and-forth court papers thing. Oh, I see, we've talked about this. Because there's a ton of dirty laundry, the ex knows that he wouldn't want out there, and it's Aaron Carter, but I've already done some talking, obviously, about Aaron Carter over the last 6 weeks, and I've already kind of explained why he didn't want to go through with this restraining order thing. You know, and Nick's got the restraining order on Aaron, and I believe it was a temporary. I don't know when that hearing would be. But I'm not sure that Aaron is going to challenge it. If he did, you know, I just don't. You know, how much money does he have? You know, he bailed on his most recent tour. He's doing drugs, so that's got to be eating up the money. So I don't know if he has the funds for a protracted legal fight, or, you know, if he wants to go on the record or write some court papers talking about Nick and his sister. You know, it would be, it's not the same way as it would have been when he was trying to. Let's see. Number 5 on the 23rd. Also very popular. Let's see why. Oh, good one. This former A-list television actress, who's also an A-list writer, had to change her phone number multiple times to avoid the illiterate former almost A-minus list, mostly movie actress turned escort. And I'm talking about Tina Fey and Lindsay Lohan. Oh, Lindsay. You know, she wants that Mean Girls sequel so bad. And And whenever Tina mentions it, or, you know, then Lindsay was just, you know, I've got Tina's phone number. And I'm not sure how Lindsay keeps getting new phone numbers. And I'm not sure if Tina really enjoys changing her phone number just to avoid Lindsay. But, you know, she can't go get a restraining order or something, because that would just, you know, Tina Fey is not going to do that kind of thing. Because she doesn't like all the attention put on her. The 24th, number one. Let's see what we got here. I guess people are finally realizing that whether it be the husband or wife of this permanent A-list duo, they will take a big check from anyone. Money is money, and they don't look at anything beyond that. And I'm talking about Jay-Z and Beyonce. And I already went on my Beyonce rant, you know, last week, so I will not do that. But yeah, they'll take... There was... What did I read about Beyonce? And I think I might have talked about it yesterday. Where... Oh, yeah, when I was doing the Demi thing. And where Beyonce is, you know, always... Demi said that Beyonce is political and all this kind of stuff. I'm thinking to myself, no, she's not. Not really. And she'll take a check from anybody. You know, that's... Anybody will take a check. Dictators, things like that. I mean, there's very few people that have in entertainment and who have the scruples or whatever to turn down money. That's the thing. I guarantee you that half the bands who play in Coachella, they probably have all this politically correct talk and all these things and all these things they want to have happen. And then, but the owner of Golden Voice is not a nice person. And is the antithesis of what half of those bands think or say they think. But it's Coachella and it's check. So what do? Oh, yeah, I'll just take the money. And then if somebody asks, they'll go, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, my gosh, I didn't know. I wouldn't have come if I had known. And then the next year when they get invited, they'll come again. Nobody takes a stand. Because they're all afraid of being canceled. They're all afraid of not having a show. I so prefer when somebody just takes a stand and doesn't do this middling, wishy-washy kind of thing where they think, oh, if I do that, then nobody will come down on me. You know, people on one side of the issue will think, okay, well, it's, and people on the other side, well, okay. No, take a stand. Let people know what you believe. But some band, you know, 25th down the bill at Coachella, if they make an announcement of why they're not going to go, will we pay attention? Will we applaud them? Maybe for 5 minutes, right? And then it's gone. It's ignored. So they're probably saying, well, why should we say something? Why should we do that? Because they're really just looking out for themselves. Number two. I mean, when you see these singers like Jennifer Lopez or anybody go play for these oligarchs or dictators, you know, who lack any kind of, I don't know, human rights stuff or anything, they go play. They'll take the check and they just hope that nobody knows or finds out. The last time anybody sent a check back, I think, was Hillary Swank. I'm not sure why anybody was Hillary Swank. That's my number one choice to come entertain at my daughter's birthday party. You know, is that what the oligarch said? Maybe they just had a crush on Hillary Swank. Let's see. This one's very popular, number two. Of course. It's a holy trinity here, almost. You would think a victim of sexual abuse would want to speak out against the billionaire pedophile, but this permanent A++ lister continues to remain quiet under instructions from not just the mogul, but many others she owes her favors to. And I'm talking about Oprah. And she really hasn't said anything about Jeffrey Epstein. And the mogul, David Geffen. You know, she said, you know, he wants her to be quiet, so she stays quiet. And then you had Gayle King facilitating something. But Oprah made a big deal about how, you know, she was sexually molested all those times and for so many years. So you would think that she would speak out about it. You know, she spoke out about Michael Jackson, right? But she didn't speak out about Jeffrey Epstein. Interesting. You know, you can't have this selective kind of thing. You know, it's as much as I it's Rose McGowan, Amy Smart, Amber Tamblyn, you know, all these people, it's selective. If it's somebody close to them, they're like, oh, no, well, couldn't have been them. Or let me explain why, you know. Let's see. But everybody else, yes, I totally believe the victim. But when it's touching somebody close to them, well, you know, there's, and I could go on and on with that. You know, Mila Kunis, Ashton Kutcher, their support of Danny Masterson and not saying anything. You know, but Ashton preaches this whole, oh, you know, I stopped all these sex traffickers and all this kind of stuff. Great. Your best friend is an accused rapist of multiple women. Well, you know, but all the people that I helped stop being sexually trafficked. Yeah, but your best friend, it's right there. You know, it's just that one, you know, because he just tries to promote himself so much as stopping all the sexual trafficking. But then the best friend, hey, come on over. Oh, you know, all those women are liars. Okay, let's see. Number 3 on 24th. I could just rant for an hour about Ashton Kutcher. It's the PR people of the former A-plus list tweener turned actress turned A-minus B-plus list adult singer who are leaking what a song is supposedly about to fit the current narrative. The reality is it was finished months ago and long before a split. Plus, her contributions to it writing-wise were minimal despite what any credits might say. And I'm talking about Miley Cyrus and some kind of breakup, you know, the breakup song about everybody's, oh, it's about Liam. Well, you know, you got to kind of think about these things. Songs are done long before. Long before. Thank You Next, done long before. You know, it's, these songs are done, they're hardly ever written by the person who it says that they're written by. So to say, oh, it's about, no, you really can't crank out a song. Well, I mean, I guess you could crank out a song in a couple of days, but somebody with Miley Cyrus, they're not going to crank out a song in a couple of days. It takes a while. You know, and it, I mean, just look at Kanye. Oh, it'll be out in a couple of days. 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 You know, so when you see that kind of thing, ask yourself, how did they get a song out in 3 days or 4 days about something like that? Number 4 on the 24th. Considering you can't buy / order the shoes in California, the permanent A-list singer bought, must mean she sent someone out of state specifically to get that new pair of really expensive shoes. And I'm talking about Britney got some snakeskin Louboutins. And you cannot buy those in California. So, I don't know, you know, she must have sent somebody out of state because you can't order them when you're in California either. You can't just get on the phone and say, oh, I'd like to order those or do it online because they just won't let you. So, number 5 on the 24th. Oh my gosh, this was super popular. What is it about? Oh, I can probably tell why it was super popular. Everybody likes to talk about her. This foreign-born A-list, mostly television actress, who starred in a now-defunct hit Peggy Hable show, has a new holiday film coming out soon, and the studio wants to, most of it, as people have already guessed the plot from the trailer, and worried it will flop. If they can't reshoot it, then they plan to send it to the streaming giant instead. And I'm talking about Emilia Clarke. And, ooh, they do want to reshoot a lot of it because it's not that good. And it's amazing to me how many people want to talk about Emilia Clarke and Rose Leslie and Kit Harington. It's a lot of people want to talk about them and the relationship. And that's, I'm kind of surprised, actually. Maybe because Game of Thrones was so popular. But there's always Emilia tips coming in. There's always, you know, Kit Harington tips coming in. You kind of got to sift through it because there's a lot of shipping going on, a lot of standing going on. So, but that one with Emilia, with the movie, it's, you know, those kind of things happen. She's had some bad luck in movies. some really bad luck. And at some point, because she promotes, but, you know, it's nothing spectacular. So then studios go, well, you know, she's had 4 or 5 bad ones in a row. Yeah, she was on Game of Thrones, which was popular, but maybe it's not translating over into movies. And the same can be said for Jennifer Aniston. I go back and look at what her box office stuff. But she's had way more bombs than hits. And when she has had hits, she's finally figured out, I think, how to have hits. And it came in those movies where they got a whole bunch of stars, where you just get to be in it for a few minutes. And it's just perfectly written for you for those few minutes. And then Horrible Bosses, where she kind of got to still play herself, and it was just the kind of fit. And then she does a really good job for some reason when she's opposite Adam Sandler. They do really well together. So, you know, she's kind of found it in the last 7 or 8 years, 6 years. But before that, it was just, you know, the only thing where she seemed to find that kind of sweet spot was maybe in Office Space. She's not really in it, but Iron Giant. I mean, it was just a voice, but it was pretty perfect. But, you know, because the fact that I can name some of them. So you have the same thing with Amelia. You have this television following, but it's not really translating over into movies. And this used to always be the case. It was hard for TV actors to move over into movies. It's much easier now just because there's so many movies and they're getting chances, and there's Netflix and all of this stuff, and HBO making their own movies, and it's a lot easier to make that transition. But you can still name, you know, 10 or so that have really had successful movie careers after having really successful television careers. Oh, let's see. Number 6, maybe on the 24th. Yeah. If one more person comes forward, this A-list singer is going to lose that super high paying, don't have to do anything really for the money television gig. That would be brutal, considering the host of the show is allowed to stay and has had several raises after his misconduct was exposed. And this is something, let's talk about this for a second. The answer is Katy Perry and Ryan Seacrest. And I wrote this on August 16th, revealed it on the 24th. And Katy had been accused, I think now, is it 3 people, 2 or 3, guys of inappropriate behavior. This was only 6 weeks ago. Nobody's talking about it anymore. It's gone. It's poof. And why? Well, because, you know, she already had the contract with American Idol. They're going to keep her on there. So let's make sure nobody really writes any stories about it. We want to make sure that, you know, she's going to keep being on there. You know, ABC, Disney, well, you know, and you would think that they would be, you know, somebody who would kind of crack down on something like that, but no. And Ryan, let's give him a big deal. Ah, we don't believe that hairdresser. You know, his shunning lasted one day at the Golden Globes. And, you know, Hollywood showed right there what they're all about. There was actually a lot of calls for him not to host the red carpet on E! For the Golden Globes that year. I mean, a ton of, you know, Ryan should, you know, step down and all this until there's, you know, investigation and everything. And E!, which is owned by NBC Universal, Comcast, you know, all these sprawling media companies, they didn't say, hey, you got to leave. They let him. Now, there was certainly celebrities who shunned him on the red carpet that day. But that's it. Nothing else. And, you know, E! Wasn't going to do anything to him because he produces Keeping Up with the Kardashians. He would go on his radio show and, you know, talk bad about them. And they just didn't want that. They were just saying, hey, whatever. And that was a telling moment. Because there were actually a lot of calls. Just don't host today. It's going to make it all about you rather than the night. And Katy Perry, so I mean, it's the same thing. I can at least say that it appears to be some kind of equal thing. Hey, we're going to treat the female offenders the same way we're going to treat male offenders, which is we're not going to really do anything. And if you stand up or something like Afton Williamson, well, you know, we're not gonna support you either. You just go ahead and quit or stay and, you know, stick it out. That's another telling thing. And, you know, she... Hollywood. I just don't know. Anyway, that was supposed to be shorter, and I was supposed to do another one. I am got a little hand thing going on, which is why I was having to do everything left-handed. A little carpal tunnel, I think. The way my... I got a new keyboard, and it's hitting my wrist wrong or something like that, and it really, really hurts today when I was typing a lot. I had to type a couple thousand words, and it was killing me. Anyway, so because I had to type those couple thousand words, I got a little bit behind. So the three episodes will happen tomorrow rather than today, but I wanted to get you something, and I think I have some exciting news that's coming down the pike. We're going to have to wait for that. Anyway, I appreciate all you guys, and I will talk to you soon.